Okay, I just want you to raise your hand if right now you feel stressed. Okay, I'm just picturing you raising your hand in the fact that we live in a world that's moving so fast right now. And it is easy for us to continue to live in stress without ever slowing down. I have a coaching client who constantly feels like they have to be doing something. And when they see somebody not doing something, they think that almost like they're lazy because in their mind that doing something is so important and that not doing something is less important. Why does that matter? And that's what we're going to talk about today is two things that you can do pretty much anywhere if you're in your car. Especially if you have a pen and paper, one's a journal exercise, but you can do these anywhere to release stress and really to help you refocus your attention back on God. And if you feel like your thoughts are impacting your stress on such a different level, meaning it just feels like you don't even know what you think, you don't even know what you feel, you don't even know what it is that you need to do, but you're just trying to go through the motions, I highly recommend you join us inside of my program, Untangle Your Thoughts, where it's all about overcoming negative thought patterns to regain control of your life. Just go to jessicahodl.com/heal. That's HEAL. Okay. Let's go ahead and start talking about how to release this stress. Hey, friend, do you want to overcome negative thoughts? Do you want to be able to discern whether it's your feelings telling you what to do or God? Are you praying for a mental breakthrough? I'm here to say that numbing out does not have to be your only option. Hard and bad things have happened in this world that need a safe space to be processed, and the church should be one of those places, and this podcast is one of those places. I'm Jessica Hodl, a board-certified master mental health coach, author, and speaker. I help women overcome negative thought patterns to regain control of their lives. More importantly, I'm the big sister who is going to tell you the truth because I care. In this podcast, we're going to be talking about feelings, the good, the bad, and the ugly. We'll be talking about practical ways to take care of your emotional and mental health while never losing sight of God. We're also going to be talking about how to study your Bible so that you can grow a deeper relationship with God. So pull up a chair, join me at the table. Let's get to the bottom of what's holding you back. Every day when our alarms go off and our eyes open, we begin making decisions. By the end of the day, when our heads hit the pillow to do it all over again, we have made an estimated 35,000 decisions. And I don't know about you, but that just feels like so many decisions. And it's like we're taking care of family, we're taking care of what do we need to eat, what do we need to do, do we need to rest, friends, processing pain, reading our Bibles. Like there's so many decisions. Even the smallest ones of I need to figure out which direction. Am I going to switch lanes here? Do I need to turn on my turn signal right now? Like so many decisions. And when we're talking about stress, I think that it's important for us to define stress. According to mentalhealth.org, stress is a feeling of being overwhelmed or unable to cope with mental or emotional pressure. According to Dr. Don Colbert, who's an MD, stress is mental or physical tension. It's strain or pressure. But also some stress researchers say that stress is the body and mind's response to any pressure that disrupts their normal balance. It occurs when our perceptions of events don't meet our expectations and we don't manage our reaction to the disappointment. I really like that definition because stress is really anything that disrupts our normal balance of our day. It can even be the fact that, hey, maybe you're driving, walking, whatever it is maybe you're driving right now and you're frustrated because the car in front of you is going too slow. Okay. That's kind of like disrupting your normal balance of driving because Maybe it's making you late to work. Maybe it's slowing you down from where you need to go. It's even in those smallest moments that our stress response can kick in because we're frustrated, we're feeling late, we're feeling behind, and now we're getting behind a car that's going slower than our normal pace. But then if we even look at it again, when we think about our certain events not meeting expectations, right? So maybe in your mind, you were like, I'm going to get to work, just going off the same analogy example, you're on your way to work and you have this whole idea of how your work day is going to go. You get there and something happened immediately that you did not plan nor see happening. And so right off the bat, your expectation of your work day is already out of balance. And now you haven't been able to manage your reaction to that disappointment of the expectation. Now, if you don't manage or take control over those feelings of, okay, let's deal with this. It's going to be okay. Let's move through it versus, oh my gosh, this isn't what I expected. And then you kind of start having that mental loop going on. How are we going to do this? How are we going to work through this? This isn't how my day was supposed to go. And here we go. You say those things like, here's the start to the day. And is this the way the day is going to go? The rest of the day is going to go, right? We've all done that. So I want to think about when stress comes in, it's in many different forms. And our perception are the difference between how we deal with the stress. So what is it that we perceive about what's happening around us? When a decision in our day disrupts that normal balance or causes strain or pressure, or how we view that particular situation will shape the level of stress we put ourselves under. Kind of like I opened with talking about one of my coaching clients who is always on the go. And we're helping her identify kind of these patterns of how hard it is for her to rest, because not moving means that often you have to deal with things, okay? A lot of silence for my clients is hard because silence means silence. There's nothing coming in to distract us from our thoughts because we don't want to be alone with our thoughts. And so a lot of my coaching clients have a hard time being in silence. Raise your hand if that is you. So, you know, one of my coaching clients is just in this inability to stop. When she looks at other people stopping, she kind of forms a perspective. Now, her perspective is going to impact her level of stress that she puts herself under. Is that correct? Like, think about her process of, I have to keep moving because this is what work is. And the other way of, if I stop moving, then am I being productive? There's so much to do. And then another one of my coaching clients, we're just trying to work through just everyday stressors that tend to overwhelm her and helping her differentiate between normal stress and when that stress is maybe turned into anxious feelings that are now lingering, and really empowering her to understand but make different choices. And really it comes down to the untangling her thoughts, just like I teach in my program. So when we think about stress, we can often think about how our pain has altered our view of the world, okay? And pain can come from two different sources: violation of love, which tells us who we are, and a violation of trust, which makes us feel unsafe. I just want us to think about how much our pain can shape our perspective, where it might make us feel helpless and powerless. We don't measure up to expectations. We feel inadequate. But one of the first things that I want you to do is this journal exercise. It's a great journal exercise that I work through with my coaching clients through their worries and stress about a situation. I just want you to draw two large circles on a piece of paper, and they're not going to be crossing. They're just literally two circles. They don't need to intersect. It's not a Venn diagram. It's just two circles. I want you to label the first circle control. Now, I said you can do this in your car because you really can. Like if you're just waiting and you have a piece of paper, or even if you're walking, you can even picture it like in your mind of just this circle. But I mean, it'd be great to write it down, of course. Okay. First circle, answer the following question. What are all the things I can control and I'm able to put my energy toward that actually make a difference? Now, I know that there's a bunch of things about control and what people believe about control. Do we have control? We don't have any control. Well, God has given us free will, and with that comes choice. And so if we look at choice versus control, we have choices. There are things within our control because of our choices that we can choose. We can choose how much caffeine we consume. We can choose when we work out. We can choose, you know, the foods that go in our mouth. There are things that we can choose. Like food just doesn't fly in my mouth. We choose to make those choices. So that's your first circle. Like, I want you to put everything that you can in that first circle that you know that you can control. The second circle now that you have is I want you to label that inside surrender. In the second circle, I want you to list all the things you would love to be able to control but can't. See, now as people that love Jesus, I think it's a great prayer exercise to prayerfully hand that over, that other circle over, because there's nothing we can really do about it. Like, we can't control people. We can't control outside circumstances that happen, especially things we can't see coming, but we can feel prepared in our heart. We can trust God and know that He is with us through it, whatever happens, and that we just don't have agency over those things. So we want to surrender to God what we are worrying about. And then we want to take action on the things listed in the control circle. If you want a more in-depth of that, an example, a picture of it, in my biblical study on stress and anxiety, you can pick that up on Amazon or in my shop, jessicahuddle.com/shop. You can get more exercises in that study. And there's really self-awareness checks throughout the entire study. I am really, really, really excited about this biblical study on stress and anxiety. There's practical, biblical, and so many examples of just clinical walking you through stress and anxiety. So you'll definitely want to pick that up if you feel any kind of anxious feelings, if you feel stressed a lot, that biblical study is for you. Okay, now that we've defined stress, let's just kind of talk about what causes it, its impact, and really just that fight or flight that we often hear about now, and that the body's response to survival when it deals with our sympathetic nervous system, that's what drives our fight or flight, which is our stress response. In that stress response, it stimulates cortisol and adrenaline to mobilize us to flee or fight from danger. And something that I remember reading, and it was so impactful for me since I've lived in so much of survival mode my entire life, was realizing that we can become addicted to our own adrenaline, to the high that it causes us, which is why when we see people that can constantly go, 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 but then the moment that they sit down, they can't even keep their eyes open. We can actually become addicted to our own adrenaline. So then the amygdala will start to interpret the images and sounds and then send signals to the hypothalamus. And the hypothalamus communicates to the rest of the body through the nervous system how it needs to respond. It's kind of like a command center. Think of the hypothalamus as a command center, telling the body how to communicate, telling it what it needs to do. So when we're constantly living stressed, especially talking about how stressed we are, like even if we're talking about how stressed we are, our bodies are responding. It's so hard for us to leave that state of fight or flight. It's hard for our bodies to get out of the sympathetic state. And it's hard for our bodies to get off the gas pedal and to stop stimulating cortisol and adrenaline. And our bodies are just going to protect us at all costs, as if it's preparing for battle. And, you know, I just want to think about, suppose our brains continue to view situations as dangerous. And in that case, our brains will continue to send signals to our body, traveling to the pituitary glands, which release hormone that trigger the adrenals and to produce cortisol to, again, keep us going, to keep us ready to fight and to keep us moving. So there's a second thing today about releasing stress and refocusing your attention back to God is breathing. Now, this is something I've just known for so long, but I'm really really trying to incorporate this more into just my everyday life. 5 minutes of setting a timer, laying on the floor if I'm at home. When I'm walking, now I'm trying to do so much more walking outside, is just taking deep breaths when I'm walking. And even closing my eyes for just a few seconds when I'm walking and taking in the sun, like just like telling your body it's okay. You're not in harm. You're not in danger. You're just walking. You're just whatever it is that you're doing. You can do this in a car. It's just important that we engage in deep breathing exercises because it's such an effective way to calm the nervous system. And it's almost, it kind of reminds me of the story in the Bible when, oh, I can't remember their names. I think it was Elijah. Another king had come to him and was like, hey, I just need to get healed. I'm paraphrasing, of course. And Elijah sent his assistant, like Elijah didn't even go to the door. He sent his assistant and he was like, hey, he just told you to go back, go in the water and dip yourself 7 times. And the guy was like, I am a soldier. Like, you just want me to go dip myself? And there was some fighting. And of course, again, I'm paraphrasing. But it was a whole this idea that this king, this soldier was kind of like, well, this is too easy. And of course, he went and dipped himself in the river and he was healed. I think we think about this, the same thing with breathing. We're like, is this really going to work? It seems way too simple. I'm just going to sit here and I'm going to breathe. Yes, it's quite effective. So let me walk you through this deep belly breathing exercise. This is again inside of my stress and anxiety biblical study. It is linked for you below in the show notes, wherever you're listening. Go to jessicahuddle.com/shop to pick it up. But I want you to find a quiet space. Again, you don't have to find a quiet space. If you're walking, if you're in a car, just we want to focus on the breath. But if you can sit in a quiet space, let's do that. So that's how I'm going to take us. I want you to sit or lie down in a comfortable position. I want you to place your hand on your belly. So put one hand on your chest and the other on your belly. I want you to inhale slowly. So that means you're going to breathe in slowly through your nose, letting your belly rise. Focus on filling your lungs with air. And then I want you to exhale gradually. Breathe out slowly through your mouth or nose, letting your belly fall. And as you're doing that, I want you to imagine releasing the tension with each exhale. And then I just want you to repeat. Continue this deep breathing for several breaths, making each inhale and exhale deliberate and calming. This exercise activates the body's relaxation response. It's saying like, hey, we can relax right now. We can stop, you know, producing stress hormones and we can promote a sense of calm right now. It's just a powerful way to help our nervous system kind of shift from a fight or flight to a more relaxed state. And with these inhales and exhales, it's a great time to say like, as you inhale, like, God, I love you so much. And as you exhale, like, God, thank you for everything that you do. You can turn these prayers or these breaths into prayers and really get your mind back on God. You can inhale and just say, God, thank you for today. Exhale for everything you do for me. And then you can just keep going. And it can be the same thing. You can breathe in like, God, thank you so much. Or I love you so much. And exhale, thank you for loving me. It can just be a breath prayer. It can just be this praise, this moment of worship, and just calming and refocusing your attention back on God. And so those are your two things. They can be really easy, especially when you are using as a journal exercise to get out of your mind, what's in your mind, and going through just the breathing and knowing how important it really is. I mentioned a few resources in this episode today. The Stress and Anxiety Biblical Study is a must. I highly recommend it. And of course, one-on-one coaching with me or picking up and joining my program, Untangle Your Thoughts, really focusing on overcoming negative thoughts to regain control of your life. With that said, don't forget to challenge the way you think to change the way you live. I hope you loved today's episode. I pray that it challenged you to see the goodness of God in your life and that whatever you are going through, God is with you and not punishing you. Share this episode with someone who has been praying for a mental breakthrough. Sometimes all we need is someone explaining something in a new and fresh way to get that breakthrough. Also, would you take 30 seconds to leave me a rating and review? It brings me so much joy to read them, and it's a way that lets me know you're enjoying the podcast. Lastly, go get my free 3-day study on how to deal with emotions in a biblical way. Psalm 18:19 reminds me of this. God delivers you because he delights in you. Don't forget that. I'll see you in a few days.